I won't spend too much time introducing this next item, but we do, before I introduce the speaker, we have a short audio presentation.
And this is just the beginning. This is the start of it.
Out to the racetrack.
Officially amazing.
Race car is ready. Race car is ready.
Is the track clear and course clear from Tim?
Course is clear.
So part of the excitement is there's an important chain of history and mentoring happening here. The founders of the National Federation of the Blind in 1940 could not have really even imagined that we would be standing here today. They laid a foundation of blind people organizing, working together, self-determining our own future, taking control of our own destinies.
Hey, I'm Pam Allen, and I'm the director of the Louisiana Center for the Blind, and we are so proud of Dan as a graduate of our program.
The thing that really brings me here is not just the job, it's just being able to be part of something this dynamic, right? That this mind-blowing.
As a racer, this is, you know, just another day, but when you only have one chance to set history, you know, the pressures get enormous.
We're here at the north end of the runway, just made our first pass with Dan driving. Dan hit a top speed of 187 on this pass.
After the first run on the nitrous, Dan asked the tuner, Errol, if he would delay the nitrous just a little bit longer to get more mile an hour, and that helped make the car more stable.
Next is going to go faster, man.
When Errol got out of the truck, he said, Dan made the call. I did just what he asked, and he hit 205. Dan is such a racer.
You ready, bro?
Let's get it.
Dan, today you hit a speed of 211.043 yeah! miles per hour. It is a new Guinness World Records title. Dan, here's your certificate. You are officially amazing. Great job. Amazing.
That's so awesome. Thank you so much.
You know, I think the only other thing to say, Dan, is let's go build the Federation.
Let's do it together.
Now, during the presidential report, you heard the sound from outside the car, and there in the little audio piece, you heard what it was like for Dan inside the car. I don't know that there's too much more to say to introduce our next speaker, except here is Dan Parker.
Thank you, everybody. I think I want to hear a replay of that motor singing at 7,000 RPM and making almost 1,000 horsepower to go 211 miles an hour. That's pure music to my ears. But I'm honored to be here today. It's been a special occasion. It's been a special year. And I ask everybody the question, who here has seen the movie The Field of Dreams? It's a good movie. And for those that haven't, you need to go back and watch it. And in the movie, a character, Ray, played by Kevin Costner, is an Iowa corn farmer who's on the verge of bankruptcy. Yep. And he hears a whisper while he's working in the fields, if you build it, they will come. And against all odds and family ridicule and on the verge of bankruptcy, he cut a baseball diamond in his cornfield, and ghosts of baseball legends past appeared, including Shoeless Joe Jackson. Today, I want to share with you my field of dreams. I was born into a racing family. I get emotional thinking about it, so I'm sorry. But I was born into a racing family. Early on, I realized I absolutely sucked at sticking ball sports, but I was attracted to anything mechanical, bicycles, mini bikes, go-karts, you named it. If it had an engine, I wanted to rev it up. And so early after high school, I started bracket racing on a weekly basis under my father's guidance. It told me how to maximize efficiency of combinations, to be a true racer, to be a sportsman. In late 1999, I became the official driver for Bill George Motorsports. In 2005, we won the ADRL American Drag Racing League Pro Nitrous World Championship. So a pro modified car is the fastest cars on the planet Earth that still have a working left door. Short wheelbase, 3,000 horsepower cars, they're ill handling to say the least. 0 to 100 miles an hour in a little over 1 second, 3.2 G's of acceleration out of the start line. On March 31st, we were testing a new motor combination, and on the first full pass, the car made a hard right turn into the wall, tore it down, went to tumbling, and cut the car in half. They tried to life flight me out of there. They couldn't because there was a storm in between the University of Alabama Hospital and the racetrack. So they put me in the ambulance with my girlfriend riding shotgun while it bounced off the speed limiter to try to keep me alive till I got to UAB. They did something I'd never heard before, nor since. I was in such bad shape, they called ahead and had another ambulance meet mine on the side of the highway for that EMT to get into my ambulance to help my EMT keep me alive. I suffered broke ribs, collapsed lungs. My whole right arm was completely destroyed. I have a skin graft site on my leg to repair a patch in my armpit, numerous other injuries. I came home with a traumatic brain injury, which is by far the worst injury I succumbed to, or not succumbed to, by injured. And but when I woke up, my family noticed that my eyes didn't look right. My pupils stayed dilated. They weren't constricting. And when somebody would walk beside my hospital bed, it would startle me when they spoke. The neuro-ophthalmologist was called in the next day, and I was given the news that I was now 100% blind for life. My optic nerve had been compressed while my brain swole and cut it off, and that was it. That was ball game. So I spent another 2 weeks in the hospital and came home to my new world of darkness, broke, beaten up, and blind. I fell into a deep depression, and I did not want to live. I don't say that to be tragic today, to be dramatic, but I know somewhere here today we have somebody that's newly adjusting to blindness, or we might be new at a training center, and you're scared. But I promise you one thing, you are right where you need to be, and your family of blind brothers. Today is your opportunity to network with other blind individuals, successful blind individuals, and those have achieved great things. Lawyers, teachers, musicians, whatever it is, you're in the right place. So after about 6 months of depression, one night I went to bed thinking about my late brother, my late mother, and my brother absolutely loved the Bonneville Salt Flats. The Bonneville Salt Flats is a dried lake bed in 120 miles west of Salt Lake City where people's been setting land speed records there since 1914. So my field of dreams came in the middle of the night. I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning with a complete vision that I would become the first blind man to race the Bonneville Salt Flats. So I had my vision, I had my dream, but I did not have a path. I didn't know what to do, how to accomplish this. Needless to say, when I proudly announced to my family and some of my friends what I was going to do, that went over like a whoopee cushion in church. And so Here I was, broke, blind, and trying to build a motorcycle after almost dying just 6 or 7 months earlier. But I started doing research, and I found the Blind Driver Challenge. And I listened to that video so many times on my phone that I just had gotten and started to learn how to use. And so one day I made the phone call that changed my trajectory. I called National Headquarters. I called Baltimore. And I told the receptionist what I wanted to do and what my ideas was, and she put me on the phone with Joanne Wilson. And that day changed my life forever. So Joanne listened to my story, and about every month or so, she would call and check on me, and I'd give her a progress report, and I would call her and give her a progress report, and the motorcycle was coming along, and we decided with my friend Patrick Johnson that we were going to build a guidance system that would give me audible feedback so I know how to correct my steering, following the philosophy of the NFB and the Blind Driver Challenge. We will do this independently. And so as we got closer, Joanne invited me to come to Baltimore, meet Dr. Maurer, President Rick Abono, and to share with them my vision and my project and my goal. And they agreed to sponsor me. So in 2013, we went to Bonneville. President Rick Abono was there with us, and we made history together, becoming the first blind man to race Bonneville independently with a speed of 55.331 miles per hour. Something special happened that day. Right before I made my historic run, President Rick Abono handed me a Louis Braille coin that Dr. Maurer handed him when he first drove the Blind Driver Challenge vehicle at Daytona. So I returned it to President Rick Abono after that significant day. I returned the next year and set my FIM class record for the first blind man to ever hold an official FIM class record with no exemptions for blindness as I raced against my sighted peers with no human assistance. It's 62.05 miles per hour. During that time, I was enrolled into the Louisiana Center for the Blind, and they go LCB. I graduated March 31st, 2015, exactly 3 years to the date of the wreck. I had my freedom bell. So once I came home, I knew there was more fruit hanging on the tree for land speed racing. The title for the Guinness World Record for the world's fastest car driven blindfolded, also known as the world's fastest blind man, held by Mike Newman in England at 200.51 miles per hour. So I set out on a 4-year journey to prove that blind people can design a race car. We can be involved in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, and we can control our own destiny. I did not choose the easy path. The easy path would have been to go rent a Lamborghini or Ferrari or whatever it is to show up my helmet and fire suit and go for the record. But I designed a car 100% myself, and with friends and volunteers, we built it over the next 3 years. The car is a 2008 Corvette. It's painted bright red. It has a full undercarriage belly pan for aerodynamics, a ram air that I designed for aerodynamics, full safety cage, dual steering wheel. So while we're testing the guidance system, I have a passenger, onboard fire extinguisher systems, nitrous oxide systems. With the nitrous, the motor together makes over 1,000 horsepower. So the fall of 2019, the car was getting close. The producers of Jay Leno's Garage approached me and were intrigued by my story and wanted to film an episode. The latest they could film was February of 2020, and luckily, the East Coast Time Association was having an event at the spaceport. It was invitational only. We finished the car, and on my first full pass, which was the pass I had to film Leno, I went 153.8 miles per hour. Then COVID hit. As everything we know in our lives, including me, racing stopped, everything came to a halt, and I didn't know what the future of my car was. But late 2020, I got the call that changed my life forever. President Rick Abono called me, and asked me if we want to get the band back together for one more run. And we want to go for the Guinness Book World Records for the 10-year anniversary for the Blind Driver Challenge. So March of 2020, I brought this car to the Arkansas East Coast Time Association and tried to test it. I had two horrible runs, and I knew I had to go back and figure out a plan. So I knew, just like anything, cane travel, etc., practice makes perfect. I knew I needed a car to I could practice with on a weekly basis, because the race car is like a thoroughbred. You can't just take her out around the block. So with a friend, he sold me a 1994 Corvette cheap. We built a second guided system. We put it in. Patrick would fly down from Huntsville. We would take it to my local drag strip and beat the car up for about 2 hours at a time, and Patrick would fly his plane back home. So I was getting prepared. We were hoping to set the record in November of 2021, on the 10-year anniversary, but sadly, Steve Strupp, the owner of the East Coast Time Association that was going to provide the insurance and the timing, got COVID, and he was on the ventilator. He was in bad shape, but by the miracle of God, he came home. So we postponed it till March of 2022, as the weather reports for January or February was not conducive to racing. Between snow and extreme cold, it just wasn't going to happen. So the spaceport told us that we could only rent the track Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. So we chose the last of March to give us our best chance for weather. So prior to the race, 3 weeks, the car had no motor, no transmission, and a hole in the transmission tunnel cut about a foot big to prepare for the new transmission that I felt that was going to be more reliable for us. We worked 24-hour days some days, but we got it done. Dynoed the car just in time to head out on the 28-hour nonstop path to the spaceport. The team conveyed on Monday, the 26th, as our team consists of all volunteers sacrificing their vacations from California to New Hampshire to Florida to North Dakota to Huntsville, Alabama. We have engineers, land speed gurus, to engine specialists, anything in between. So we went over the car, and we found a problem. I'd ordered the torque converter too tight, so that means when you drop it in gear, the motor's wanting to stall. So Tuesday, the winds were horrible, 50 miles per hour side winds. Typically in land speed racing, you have to stop at 17 miles per hour. So I couldn't practice on Tuesday. If I took the test car out, it would make multiple runs consisting around 110 to 120 miles an hour, staying in a 10-foot wide path with a 50-mile-an-hour side wind. So I knew I could do it. We just need a little luck on our side. On Wednesday, the car was getting closer. I made a half-mile pass at 158, turned it around, started at the three-quarter-mile mark, went 176 miles per hour. So when the dust settled Wednesday afternoon, I had not been 200. I did not sleep at all Wednesday night, hardly. I woke up at 1:30 in the morning. I designed a push bar in my head that we could build with what tools and material I had in the trailer. So if I couldn't get the car to leave the start line, we would push it with the practice Corvette up to 30 miles an hour. I would drop it in gear, because we had quit was not in our vocabulary. We were going to do whatever it took to come home with the Guinness Book of World Records. So as the sun was rising on that Thursday, the last day, me and the team were grinding. And I was in the trailer grinding on parts and deburring parts while Jeff Pope was out with blankets covering the welder, because the wind was messing up the welding. And we finished the push bar. Jason continued testing, and at 12 o'clock, I'd still not been over 200. And I was getting really worried. The weight of the world was on my shoulders. But I felt no pressure from my brotherhood from the Federation. Everybody was there to support me. They knew, they had faith. They said, "We know you can do it. We're here for you." And that gave me peace of mind that we were in this together. So at 12:30 or so, Jason came to me. He said, "It's ready. The car's yours." We took the car to the top end of the runway. The next pass was 2:05. Oh. The clock was ticking. We only had the spaceport rented at 5 o'clock. I went to Alice and Chris Lopez. I said, listen, I know our lease is up at 5, but we have insurance. What are our options? They told me, he said, you just keep fighting. We'll worry about this. So I knew on the 205 pass, I felt something just not right with the car. It had what's called bump steer. When I hit a bump, the car wanted to move to the right. I told Jason, let's take it back to the pits, jack it up, put 3 rounds of compression on all 4 shocks. We worked on the steering. We installed the moon disc, which is an aerodynamic wheel cover that gives you more top speed. We put a fresh nitrous bottle in it, and it was showtime. We towed the car to the top end of the runway. We wanted to go against the wind the first run, so it would give us our data for our worst run, so we knew how to adjust for the backup run. Because for the Guinness World Records, you don't do it one time. You have to do one pass within 1 hour, turn the car around the opposite direction, and make another return run. The average of the 2 runs is your Guinness record. So on my first full pass, we clocked a tick over 210 miles per hour. We got the car turned around on the top end as the team jumped on packing the parachutes, changing the water in the cooling system. I sat in the car trying to maintain my calm. I didn't take off my helmet. I didn't even unhook my seat belts. I didn't even take off my racing gloves. I told Jennifer, my fiance, I said, just try to be my gatekeeper. Don't let anybody distract me. This is showtime. I can't stay not focused. So the cooling cart lost its prime, unpronounced. You know, I had no idea behind me the cooling cart lost its prime. The team were back there just drastically trying to change 15 gallons of water from one water tank into the car. They were using solo cups, water bottles, anything they could do. And so when we cranked up the car, we had 12 minutes left on our 1 hour turnaround time. So I eased into the throttle. At about the 300 foot mark, I was able to go wide open. The sound of RPMs was music to my ears. Went through the finish line. The guided system calls out parachutes. With my pinky, I can pull a paddle shifter, automatically deploy the parachute, then stop. And we were running out of runway because the brakes were heat soaked. They were fading fast, but we brought it to a stop with only about 300 feet left in the runway. Immediately, the Guinness officials came up, took the SIM cards out of the GoPro cameras to prove the in-car shot that I was the one in control, going for the record. Immediately we took the car to the trailer, to the all the applause from all the NFB family there cheering me on, and the Guinness official looked at all the GoPro videos in the laptop and certified our record, 211.043 miles per hour. But that record was no, you know, the racer side of me recognized that 211.043, but that's just a small part of this record. This record is about every one of us there in this room, everyone watching on live stream, everyone there is in the blind community to prove what we can do. And if we're given an accessible world, we can compete with our peers, sighted peers, at the workplace, the school, or the racetrack. And all of us, we all have our own field of dreams. We have something deep in our heart that we want to accomplish. And as we all start going our different ways on Monday, know that your federation is behind you. Take it one day at a time. Take the doubters out of your life. Surround yourself with supporters, and anything is possible. I know we will continue work for the National Federation of the Blind and the Blind Driver Challenge, and together we will build the federation. So when President Riccobono earlier was talking about the museum,
A little while back, I called him and told him that when the museum is built, I will donate the motorcycle for the display for the Blind Driver Challenge. We still have more records to set with that Corvette. One day, hopefully, it'll be there too, but it ain't over with yet for it. And so today, I want to present President Rick Abono and the NFB one of the moon discs, one of those aerodynamic wheel covers that made the difference between the 205 and the 210 and the 212 passes that came off the car. And in it is an inscription, and I have Beth read it to us, but also have Errol, the tuner of the car, his son 3D printed a plaque with all the wording on the moon disc in Braille. So when they hang... So when President Rick Abono takes it back to Baltimore and they put it on the wall, right beside it will be the Braille inscription of exactly what the significance is of that wheel cover and the meaning and the historical part of the Blind Driver Challenge it played. So, Beth, are you here?
I am, and Dan, here, I've got it, a picture of it. So do you want to hold it and present it to President Rick Abono?
Yeah.
And I've got also this one. That
okay.
You can...
Lots of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this wheel cover spun aluminum, and it's got a dome shape to it, and it has six holes that where it bolts to the wheels so we can take them on and off to service the wheels, the brakes, etc.
On March 31st, 2022, Dan Parker, representing the National Federation of the Blind, the Blind Driver Challenge, and Tragedy to Triumph Racing, set the Guinness World Record for the fastest car driven blindfolded, 211.043 miles per hour. And then there's the Blind Driver Challenge logo, the National Federation of the Blind logo, and the Guinness World Record logo. And it says, this moon disc was a race-used wheel cover that provided an aerodynamic improvement on the record runs.
Very cool. Thank you. That's awesome. You want to take that to me?
Yes, sir. It's the NFB. Thank you so much for everybody. I know we're so blessed to be back in person at convention. And the energy here this weekend has been great. As I sit here behind President Rick Abono listening today, it's just amazing what we have accomplished together. And I'm a proud member of the NFB. We're going to continue working for everything we have to do.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Great job. Dan Parker, everybody.